All right, so we
ready
are
for a show.
Starting.
I'm ready for a show. Let's do it. Let's do it
for a show. Actually, just a little reminder: our first ever episode, we trolled ourselves by not recording the first like 15 minutes of it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And then when we did hit record, the first thing that ever happened on our show was Lady Belches.
You know.
Not very ladylike.
I drank my whole drink in preparation for this show, and now I want more drink, and I don't have any more.
It's messed up.
Have you tried this stuff? Propel for men.
Oh, real quick, let me show you something. I got a new guitar. Real quick, I'm gonna show this off to anybody. Yeah, that's cool, right?
ESP?
Nope, no, it's called Glary. So.
What?
Yeah.
The fret markers are like Ibanez ESP. It threw me off.
Yeah, like I have that on my... No, actually, no, my LTD actually has the skull and crossbones. But, yeah, it has the fin inlays. It's cool.
My Ibanez RG has fin inlays.
So,
let's talk about the, you know, monkey on your shoulder and the elephant in your room. I heard through the grapevine that somebody got banned from Facebook for having
right.
an opinion or what happened?
I got banned from Facebook yesterday, so I'm on a 3-day ban. I'm not allowed to post anything. I'm not allowed to comment. I'm not allowed to react to anything on Facebook. I can observe, but I cannot do anything else other than observe Facebook for 3 days. So
you're drinking?
Yes, heavily.
All right, buddy. All right.
I only drink water and a cup of coffee. One cup, sometimes two, and water. That's all I drink. And sometimes tea.
Men.
So, all right, I'm going to tell you why I got banned, okay? Now, I found results of... So apparently, first thing is, the World Health Organization does not allow anyone to conduct autopsies on COVID-19 corpses, people who died from COVID-19, you're not allowed to conduct autopsies on those bodies. Kind of weird, right? I thought that was kind of strange. I was like, you're not allowed to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, that's really weird. I don't know why they would do that, but all right, whatever. But I would think that they would want to conduct autopsies to kind of get down to the bottom of it, right? So supposedly, now this is what I heard, I'm saying, I don't know if this is factual or not, all right? I'm just saying all I heard was that Russia said, screw that, we're going to do autopsies on people who died from COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did, Russia, this is not my opinion, right? I'm going to express that immensely. Because I got banned for this. I didn't say this was, I agreed with this, but Facebook banned me for saying this, for sharing this. I just thought it was interesting. I thought people might be interested to read it. Apparently I'm not allowed to, you know, share anything that they don't want me to share. Anyway, so Russia did this supposed autopsy and discovered that COVID-19 causes blood clots, which blood clots reduce oxygen and makes it hard for people to breathe. So, okay, well, that makes sense. But then they said that it came from a bacteria and not a virus, which means that it's completely treatable through, like, antibiotics. Hold on. I'm not saying that it's true. I'm saying that's what I read.
I hear you. I hear you.
Now,
I don't want to hear any more about it, but I hear you. That's just ridiculous and absurd.
Well, we don't know that. See, that's the thing. We don't know.
You got banned. Not that we don't know, that you got banned for that. That's what's ridiculous and absurd.
I got banned for that. And that's the thing. Yeah, I got banned for that. And who knows? And then I read all the things that you could get banned for when they said, well, this is what, here's the list of things you could get banned for saying about COVID-19. One of them was that you can't say that the vaccines, all right, this is Facebook, by the way. So anyone listening to this out there, this is not me saying this. This is Facebook saying this. Facebook said, you're not allowed to say that the vaccines cause blood clots. But the Johnson & Johnson vaccine literally causes blood clots. That's why they stopped delivering that one.
No, but it's back.
But you can't say it. What?
All right. So speaking of things you can and can't say, we're going to get a little personal because today's stupid criminal could also have been named Joe Lustica.
Probably not.
Back in the day, there was a time where Joe used to enjoy the sauce. While enjoying the sauce, Oh, yeah. While enjoying the sauce, he was stopped by the wonderful police of Red Bank, New Jersey. They asked him for his name. He said it was Joe Lustica. They're like, are you sure you're not Ronald Lustica?
Oh, yeah.
And then
oh,
he
yeah.
went off on a whole entire tangent about Ronald McDonald because that's how much sauce Joe had consumed that day. Well, there's a man in Texas who was fishing. And a game warden in Texas stopped him and his buddy, and he didn't have proper identification. So he knew he had active warrants for his arrest. So in an effort to deceive the law enforcement officer, he gave the warden the name of a friend. As it happens, the man whose name he gave also had warrants for his arrest. So despite his dupe, like his attempt to dupe the warden, he was arrested and taken into custody anyway. He was being booked in jail under the false name. The man admitted it was a lie and was booked underneath his real name with the additional charges of lying to the police officer.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, which, you know, when your kids are older and watching this episode, they can find out that that could have been you because you thought you were Ronald McDonald or Ronald Lustica or whoever it was. And who knows what kind of warrants he had.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, stupid criminals. But you know what's not hilarious? Because I have been waiting all week to talk about this. Baseball, what ifs, and conspiracy theories, okay?
Oh yeah, nice.
Because the first one and the most important one, like if we talk about nothing else, the most important conspiracy theory happened in 1997, I believe. August 1997. Yes, August 14th to be exact.
August 14th, 1990. That's a very specific day. And you got me here. Like, look, I'm a walking baseball encyclopedia. A lot of people don't know this. Mm-hmm. I literally know so much about baseball that it just, like, people will call me. Before Google, people would call me and ask me questions to verify baseball trivia.
Camden Yards.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about now.
They had a magical, mysterious power outage that the night game could not be played.
That's right.
Because a certain gentleman by the name of Cal Ripken Jr. was in the middle of his streak.
It would have ruined it.
No, it well, that's the thing.
He wasn't going to make that game.
Right, he wasn't going to make the game, and there's a whole bunch of conspiracy theories that he was beating the shit out of Kevin Costner because Kevin Costner was in bed with his wife or some crap like that. Like, there's a whole spiel of stuff, but he called the team and an employee mysteriously figured out a way to make the lights not work, so the game had to be postponed to a later date. But would he still have been relevant as far as baseball goes? He was a two-time All-Star. He had a number of different, you know, accolades to his name, but would he have been the all-time game holder? I don't know, because I think Cal Ripken ended with like 2,600 games, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the closest person to that was Lou Gehrig with like 2,100. So I don't remember when Cal Ripken Jr. Retired, but I do know
that 2002, I think his last season was 2001.
So would he have been the record holder? And is it a conspiracy theory that an employee actually sabotaged that game?
I think the sabotage happened, to be honest with you. I think the sabotage, I think that was real. I think that there was something going on. I don't know if it's the Kevin Costner thing. I don't know anything about that.
But he couldn't get to the game.
He couldn't get to the game for one reason or another. And they said, we got to figure out how to postpone the game somehow. Yeah. So power outage. Oh, lights don't work. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. So let's go to another one. I mean, because I got tons of conspiracy theories here.
So
who won?
I think honestly, Cal Ripken Jr. for a shortstop, he had a lot of power. So back in those days, shortstops did not hit a lot of home runs. That was not what they cared about. But the guy did hit over 400 home runs, and I think he hit like over 300 as a shortstop. I know he played third base a little bit too, which third base may have a little bit more power.
He had a cannon from third base, but that's, you know, neither here nor there.
Yeah, no, he had a great arm. He was a great player. He had, I know he won a few Golden Gloves, I think.
And only All-Star twice.
All-Star twice. I know he won like maybe two or three Golden Gloves. I don't know. I don't remember that exactly, but I don't think he won a lot. But defensively, he was pretty good from my understanding. I think his bat was more of like the impressive end of him. He could, he could hit 25 home runs every year pretty consistently too.
Yeah. Next. This is the ultimate trivia question, Joe. Who won the 1994 World Series?
Nobody.
Why, Joe?
Because the ball players went on strike in 1994 and there was no World Series. It was the first time there hadn't been a World Series since 1904.
And it was designed so that the Montreal Expos wouldn't win.
The strike?
Mm-hmm.
Really? So you think that the strike was so that the Expos wouldn't go to the World Series? That's terrible. It was kind of weird, too.
And Tony Gwynn, realistically, it was the only year in like the 90s, 2000s, even the late 80s that they had any chance of winning.
Yeah.
I mean, their streak was almost as long as the Red Sox. It was like the 1940s was the last time that the Expos won the World Series. And they would have won that year.
Well, the Expos, they never won a World Series. Did they win a World Series?
Yes, they won a World Series.
When did they win a World Series?
I thought in the 40s. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, there was no Expos in the 40s.
Oh.
The Expos, trying to think.
Oh, they were an expansion team.
They came out like the 69 or something, like what the Mets did. I think that was the year. Like they came out the same year. So I don't think they ever won. They never won a World Series. I mean, now they're the Nationals, by the way. I don't know if anyone knows that, but they became the Nationals. So, but I don't think they ever won a World Series.
But that they would have won that year.
There was a team called the Washington Nationals before the Montreal Expos.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think anyone knows about that.
All right, let's go again. Let's get personal.
Okay.
Let's get real personal. Do you think that Derek Jeter's walk-off was rigged?
Which one?
His last at-bat as a professional baseball player.
Oh, could be. I could see someone giving it to him. I thought of that about Ted Williams. I think I don't think Ted Williams was rigged. I think that the pitcher wanted to strike him out, but Williams was like, no, I'm going to do it.
Dude, it was the bottom of the ninth. The relief pitcher, Evan Meek was in. And he threw him probably one of the best pitches. I mean, Jeter smacking it to the gap, he's known for that. Like, if you give him a butter pitch, he's going to put it in the right spot. That dude's always been good at that.
He got that inside-out swing that just kind of – he can knock that ball. And I think he basically taught himself how to hit that way so that he could – like hit home runs in Yankee Stadium. You know, he was a Yankee fan growing up. He grew up in New Jersey as a Yankee fan. So it was like his whole life was a dream, like his dream come true. His entire career, baseball career, is his dream come true. You know, I think that was a gimme. I think that was like, all right, let's give it to him. You know, why not?
Who cares? I mean, it's the perfect way to go out, but I don't know.
Well, let's see. Let's name five professional ball players, five major league ball players or coaches that did not respect Derek Jeter.
That did not respect Derek Jeter?
Did not respect him.
Tommy Lasorda. Hated him.
Tommy Lasorda hated everybody.
Just because you're upset that I got to it first, I mean, come on now.
All right. All right. So four more. Tommy Lasorda.
Alex Rodriguez.
Okay. Well, actually, that's a okay. So there is a time.
That is not a myth. That is not a myth.
No. I'm not. No. They don't get along. They used to be friends.
He took his fucking spot.
Yeah.
That was A-Rod's spot.
Oh my God, dude. No, that whole thing started before A-Rod went to the Yankees.
I know. I'm just fucking with you.
No. It's
about. He went to the Yankees and agreed to play third because that was Jeter's spot and he had no choice.
Yeah, he didn't have much of a choice. Plus, A-Rod was, I mean, he was a good shortstop, but.
He was a better third baseman.
Yeah, I think so. They made the right call. And he had the arm for it. I think at first he was a little shaken by that position.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I remember he struggled at that position for a little while in the beginning. But then he got into it.
Let's see. Alfonso Soriano.
I didn't know about that. That I don't know about. These are guys that are on the team with him.
I would say because of the batting position, because Soriano was always a better second batter than he was a leadoff batter. But him and Knobloch were both forced to be leadoff to Jeter second.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was leadoff. I was always leadoff. Every team I ever played on up through high school, I was always leadoff because I always got on base. Like I could always hit.
But I always batted third or fourth on any team I was on.
I was always first. But Jeter was always second. So no matter how good or bad or what you were, Soriano, when he went to the Rangers, was a much better second batter than he was a first batter. But I don't know. All right, so I got three. You go for two. You round out the five. Who do you think?
Oh, my point was that you couldn't – find five people. That's why I said five, because everyone's going to at least find two. All right. You can always find two, and you named them. A-Rod was one of them.
And Tommy Lasorda, because he hates everybody.
Tommy Lasorda hates everybody. I think he hated Kirk Gibson when he sent them out to go pinch hit for that put in the World Series. He's like, okay. I hate him, but send him out there.
So when you hear the name George Brett, Kansas City Royals.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know him for?
Three things. He batted 390.
Yes.
In 1980. He finished the season at 390. Second, it was the highest batting average since Ted Williams. Mm-hmm. Tony Gwynn in 94 batted 394, but it was an incomplete season. Like 110 games or 112 games was played. So... highest.
July 24th, 1983.
I know. I've watched the whole game, by the way. You can watch that game on YouTube. You type in MLB Vault, and boom, it's on there. Right? So that's so you're welcome, guys. But
tell the people. Tell the people.
Tell the people.
Yeah, tell the people. What happened July 24th, 1983?
So, all right. This is an interesting setup because there's more to the story than just that game. What? Because this happened against the Yankees.
But the conspiracy theory and the what if comes from
the pine tar on the bat.
This game, because what 1980? What would his batting average have been had his bat not had pine tar on it? Had he not had the grip?
Well, no, 1980 and 1983, different years.
Different years, but he always had pine tar on his bat. He had a 390 batting average with a pine tarred bat.
Right. Well, the pine tar doesn't really affect. I know it strengthens the wood. That's
didn't have pine tar on his bat?
Who knows? Don't know. I don't know if that's going to make more balls fall into play. I don't know.
His passion, though. He's a passionate player. He was pissed off because he played years and years and hundreds of games with his bat like that. I mean, granted, if you know he put it up as a Christmas tree, no one would know the difference because of how much fucking pine tar he had on the goddamn thing. But still, what if he wasn't allowed to use pine tar? he was right to be pissed off. The game got overturned, and then it ended up that they replayed the last inning later on, and the Royals ended up beating the Yankees 5-4.
Yeah, they ended up winning the game. But it's pretty interesting because I actually read the rule book on that. I actually have a book on the rules, like all the MLB rules, which we have to go over like some of the balk rules next time. We'll have to go over that because I know balk, people are very confused by the balk rules. So I got the whole list and we'll go over that. But here's what happened. So you have George Brett coming up the bat. He's got the pine tar. It's supposed to be a certain amount of inches away from the barrel, right? Or off the barrel. And you can literally, like the home plate, they actually did it in the game. They used the home plate to measure it because it can't be, basically it can't pass the home plate. So it has to be, the barrel has to be clean from pine tar from the top of the barrel all the way across home plate.
Right.
So that's why they used the home plate for that to measure it. And then they said, yeah, look at that. You know, they debated it at first, tried to figure out, okay, is this rule legit? Is this, you know, and then once they said, okay, let's use the home plate to measure it. So then they did that. But what happened first was, of course, you know, the home run that he hit. The Royals were behind 3-4. Mm-hmm. George Brett hit a 2-run home run. And then, what's his name? Tried to get it overturned. I can't think of his name right now. Billy Martin. Billy Martin was the manager. And here's what happened. So a few years earlier.
The pitcher?
Huh?
Who was the pitcher?
Who was the pitcher?
The Goose, man.
Oh, Goose Gossage? Was pitching at the moment?
He smacked the homer off of him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, so what happened was earlier in the game, I think it was Bobby Mercer pointed out to Billy Martin George Brett's pine tar on the bat. And Billy Martin said, don't say anything about it now. We'll talk, maybe we'll say something later. Let's see what happens. But this happened to Thurman Munson like a few years earlier. Mm-hmm. Obviously it had to be before 1979 because that's when he died. But Thurman Munson actually got, the exact thing happened to him. Thurman Munson lost a hit or something like that because the pine tar was too high up on the bat. So Billy Martin and Bobby Mercer both knew about this. And, they just say, okay, let's just keep it quiet. And then, when he hit the home run, Billy Martin's like, okay, now we can use this. that was pretty smart of him to do that, to say like, just keep it quiet. We'll talk about it if we need to.
It was something.
Yeah.
All right. So let's geographically change it up a little bit. Well, let's head north.
Okay.
Albert Bell.
Albert Bell, interesting guy. All right, let me tell you something. I watched this guy in an at bat, and this was, first of all, anytime this guy came up to bat, you were nervous if he was not on the team you were rooting for. You're always like, oh God, oh God. I think he was the first guy to hit 50 home runs in like a decade. Like, no
did
one
he
had
use corked bats though?
He did, yeah.
There's
he
no
got
proof.
Caught, huh?
There's no proof.
No, he got caught using a corked bat.
No.
But
the umpires thought he had a corked bat, so they locked it in an office. He grabbed one of the relief pitchers for the Indians and dropped him over the ceiling tiles into the other room to get the bat back. It was never tested and never found.
That sounds like a corked bat to me.
It does, but would his records still hold up? Would he have been as good of a hitter had he been discovered with a corked bat?
Well, it's hard to say because he didn't play full time. He played. He didn't have a very long career. Number one,
No, but he played for the Indians, so he could have played for 10 years before anybody knew who he was, and it would have been just because of this streak of at-bats. Like, he was a phenomenal hitter.
Yeah, the guy was a
phenomenal hitter.
Well, he was like a 280 batting average hitter who would hit about 30 home runs.
He had to have broken 300.
No, he hit over 300 a few times. Yeah. But he was like, I would say maybe like in the high, maybe 290 type of batting average. But he would hit about 30 home runs and 100 RBIs. So he definitely got noticed. But then one year he just hit 50 home runs. And that was like, whoa. And I think that was in 95. That was the year after the strike. He had 50 home runs. And then because that was a shortened season anyway because of the replacement players from the beginning of 95. People questioned, like, well, could he have hit more home runs? You know, if he had those extra 20 games, would he have hit 60 home runs? Like, I don't think he was going to hit 10 more home runs in 20 games. But he could have hit, like, three or four more. You know, it's possible.
I don't know.
He never hit 50 home runs again. That was the only year he cracked the 50 mark.
Right, and it was the only year that his bats were publicly
under question.
Questioned. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is kind of suspicious. Like, if you have nothing to hide, then you wouldn't have somebody sneak in and go steal your bat away from the umpires. So, a little suspicious, but there's no evidence. So, as far as it goes in America, innocent until proven guilty. Right? Innocent until proven guilty.
What else we got? Okay. Bart Giamatti. They say that he died before he was able to do something. Now, my question is it true? Like, a lot of people can talk a lot of shit. And, you know, since I'm in Cincinnati, I figured that I would bring this in because Cincinnati in baseball has a rich history. Cincinnati Red Stockings are the oldest team in baseball. So, right before he passed away, he was the commissioner of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
There are rumors that he had an agreement to lift Pete Rose's lifetime ban. But he died before he could do it. And then there were petitions and everything right after he passed for the new dude to say, you know, hey, why don't you reinstate Pete Rose? But do you think that, I mean, what you were saying before, Pete Rose gambled on baseball games. He bet on his own team. Bet on them to win, bet on them to lose, it doesn't matter. He bet on his own team.
Yeah.
But he was the greatest, arguably, all right, I'll say it because there's so many trolls, arguably the greatest hitter in baseball. Not home run hitter, just hitter in general.
Well, he holds the record for most hits.
That man got up to base. He was getting on, like, up to bat, he was getting on base.
Yeah, he holds the record for most hits. I don't know if he holds the record for, he does not hold the record for highest on base percentage. I'm pretty sure.
But he doesn't hold the record for most hits. Because in his ban, he lost everything.
He still holds the record for most hits all time.
No,
you can't erase those records. That's that.
No, that's like the asterisk for the fucking home run record. I don't think it's official. He's not in the Hall of Fame, and that record is not in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, look, it's there. He got those hits. He also holds the record for most at-bats of all time too, which was something I remembered when he got the all-time hit record. They're like, wow, he also has the most at-bats ever. Well, that makes it a bit easier, doesn't it? Because he's like a career, I think he has a career 300 batting average or something like that. Like 303
or
something.
Why would he have the most hits? I mean, what was Cal Ripken's record? Just how many games he started or how many games he actively played?
He started in 1963 and he played all the way to 1986. So the guy he played for 23 years before he got banned. Right. I mean, he won Rookie of the Year in his first year. He did great. You know, he was great for sure. Right. But I remember this guy played a couple positions. He wasn't just like a one player position, a one position player. He
But
played
one
first
player
base, he
position.
played outfield, and he played third base. Right? So that made him more valuable just on that alone. The other thing was that he was a switch hitter. So that was another thing. He could steal bases. He was fast. Okay. He didn't steal a lot of bases though, but he could steal bases. He didn't hit a lot of home runs, but he would hit a lot of doubles. I know he led the league in doubles many times, right? And so he was hitting balls and driving them. You know, it's not like he was just hitting these bloop singles. He was driving balls down the line. So a lot of his hits were doubles and then a lot of singles. And he got some triples. Playing in Cincinnati, you can definitely get some triples in that park. But
Oh, dude, when you come out to visit, it is one of the nicest parks. I mean, I've been to quite a few baseball parks, and if I'm going to get extreme with it, the best existing baseball park right now, because the old Yankee Stadium is gone, is Wrigley Field. I saw Pearl Jam there. It was one of the greatest concerts ever, but it was one of the most beautiful parks I've ever been to in my life.
Nice.
It was amazing. Amazing. So, do you have any, before we move on to the bad dad advice, do you have any baseball what ifs or conspiracies?
Yes, I have a few. One, first thing is, what would have happened if Lou Gehrig never got sick? What do you think his career would have been like?
With Lou Gehrig's disease?
With his own disease. How ironic that Lou Gehrig caught Lou Gehrig's disease.
I don't know.
What are the odds?
I don't know. I don't know what there was left for him to do that he hadn't already accomplished, except add records and numbers to his already existing career.
Well, he would have been he easily would have been the second person in history to get 500 home runs, which he wasn't. But he could have
No,
easily. He was like
he's in
seven
the
away or
he's in
something.
the yeah, he's in the high fours.
Yeah, he was like seven away from 500.
Okay.
Also, I don't think Cal Ripken would have broke his record because his record would have went on a lot longer.
Okay.
Right? That's
Yeah.
another thing. Lou Gehrig was on pace, I think. I mean, look, he was on a pace to smash like Hank Aaron holds the record for most time most RBIs, right? Lou Gehrig though consistently every year would have these insanely high RBI seasons. So if he continued playing at the same rate that he was playing at, which I think he would have done, he would have probably an untouchable RBI record.
Okay.
I think so. I
Maybe.
mean, plus
Maybe.
the with the streak and everything too, the guy played every single day. He played the full game. The guy never like took breaks, you know.
Okay. All
Dying
right.
horse.
What you got next?
Okay, this is one my brother brought up years ago, which I thought was an interesting one. Roger Maris, and now this is plausible. This could be plausible that in the 1961 season, Roger Maris was taking steroids or like testosterone boosters, so like the type of anabolic steroids they had back in those days, which was like these testosterone boosters. I can cite some things that would make it easy to explain. One is that when you take anabolic steroids, your hair can fall out from taking it, right? Roger Maris was losing his hair that year. He said it was from stress, right? He said he was getting really stressed out from, chasing the babe and that his hair started to fall out. Well, could have been stress or could have been steroids or could have been a combination of both, right?
Okay.
So that's one thing. Another thing is that scouting was not the same, was not the way it was back then as it is today. So he played for Kansas City before he came to the Yankees, and he could have come to the Yankees and started juicing without people really knowing. Now, people will say, well, there was no steroid use back then. Yeah, well, you're wrong. It was found out that in the 1954 Olympics, people were using steroids in order
But they weren't
to.
called steroids. It was like some kind of supplement.
Yeah, it was like a testosterone supplement, but It was essentially a steroid that they were taking.
Yeah, it's what turned into steroids.
And of course, you know, the Olympics are huge. I can't imagine a Major League Baseball player not knowing of that story from back mm-hmm. then, right? You know, someone like Roger Maris, who was an adult in that time period, would have definitely have heard, at least heard that story in the Olympics in 1954. You know, that's only like 7 years, 54, 60, 61. That's 7 years before he broke the record. Right. So he could have been like, okay, I'm going over to the Yankees. Let me use, maybe this will help, you know. He's going to be out there and he's standing next to Mickey Mantle.
Right.
You know? So he's like, I got to step it up. So of course he goes there and hits 39 home runs for the Yankees in 1960. And then 1961, he hit 61 home runs. The guy never even came close to hitting that many before or since. His second highest total was 39.
Maybe it's because he was introduced to Mickey Mantle and he showed him his secret.
Maybe. Maybe. All right. Maybe he was taking steroids, or maybe the guy just had he was just in the zone that year.
Maybe. All right. So what do you have for bad dad advice, Joe?
Bad dad advice.
Tell me something that you got. Because I have a bad dad joke that is gonna have you wet in your pants.
Do not let your kids get out of the car on their own in the middle of the street. In the middle of the street. Don't do that.
Okay. Fair enough. Here we go. Poop jokes aren't my favorite jokes, but they're a solid number two.
I like it.
Yeah. It's good. It gets the people going. So, how to not get your kids killed? Don't let them out in the middle of the street.
There you go.
Boom. Boom goes the dynamite.
And boom goes the dynamite. Boom.
Yeah. Yes. So, another theory, which, you know, could just wrap everything up in the Chuck Norris style, maybe Roger Maris, when he became a New York Yankee, became friends with Chuck Norris. Maybe he was drinking Chuck Norris's piss.
There you go. That would make sense.
I mean, honestly, Chuck Norris could have been the reason why Roger Maris did so good.
Could be. Oh, one of my friends, by the way, his uncle is the guy that caught the 61 home run ball. My friend's uncle. Just
did
saying.
What?
Yeah, one of my friends, his uncle was the guy in Yankee Stadium that caught the ball that day that Roger Maris hit that 61st home run. I never met him, but my friend told me. He goes, yeah, my uncle's the one that caught the ball. I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
So, did you know that Chuck Norris doesn't throw baseballs?
No.
They just leave his hand cowering in fear.
Do you know what position Chuck Norris plays?
Power bottom.
In baseball, Chuck Norris plays all the positions at the same time.
Of course he does.
Oh, by the way, you know what else he does? Every at bat, he hits a grand slam.
Nice. Nice. All right. So what we want to know, people, let us know if you have any conspiracy theories of your own, any topics you want us to talk about, comment about, or if you want to see somebody on the show. If you want to see a guest on the show, let us know. We're here. We'll answer your comments. Well, not Joe, because he's not allowed on Facebook, but I'll answer your comments whenever.
I'll be back.
Whatever you need to know. For the Titans of I Don't Know, I'm Ben.
And I'm Joe.
You guys have a good night.